Come on and put your hands together, give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Folks, argue about when Jesus died and when he rose, I do not care. I'm keeping it real with you. I don't care. It don't matter. Because I know I've been saved, delivered, and set free by the blood of the Lamb. I don't care if he died and rose on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday. He still did what he did, and that's giving me life, an everlasting life. Folks want to argue about silly stuff. Well, he died on this day. Who cares?
Come on now.
Who cares? All I know about, all I care about is the fact if I drop head, drop dead right here today, then I'm going to make heaven my home. Because he got on that cross and he bled and he died for us. And then on the third day, he rose again and they was looking for him and Jesus was walking around and they didn't believe that he actually rose. They thought he was a spirit. He said, let me show you something. You ever seen hope in a spirit's hand? You ever seen holes in the spirit's feet? Let me get this word. I'm a guy excited. I'd be dancing like Pastor Keys and I'd be back in the hospital. We're on 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse. I'm looking at the clock, Therese. For I received, now you have to understand something. We teach the Bible in this church and we teach it from the original writings. So a lot of stuff that you see in your Bible is not actually there. When King James scholars were breaking the Bible down, they didn't have the Spirit of God to help them. And God had actually hidden a lot of words in between the different words, and they added words because they didn't know what that meant. Well, it's called a mazarako. That's where God hides his words. But God said in the New Testament, but now it has been made known that we might know the mysteries that were hidden in times past. So God is now revealing himself to us in a supernatural way. So we don't have to stay dumbfounded.
Amen.
For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was what? Betrayed, took bread. Now, we're talking about now, this is Paul. He wasn't even there. He wasn't there. Peter didn't tell him. John them didn't tell him. Because actually, let's keep it real. None of them really liked him. You would probably feel the same way. You didn't walk with Jesus for 3.5 years, and here comes this man just walking down the road to Damascus, and Jesus come and meet him where he at and turned him into one of the greatest preachers that ever preached. And you'd have been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Now he's trying to tell you something that you ain't never heard before. I think I'd get a little angry. He said, I received of the Lord that. That's the key. He said, I received from the Lord. I didn't get what I got from a man. I got it from God. See, that's our problem. We want to get what we get from man. But see, when you get stuff from man, it has the ability to wither away or jump up and bite you somewhere. I know we got kids up in here. We even got some adult kids up in here. I receive of the Lord that which also I am giving to you. I'm sharing this with you. It means surrender. I'm entrusted. I'm committing this to you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Or the word betrayed in the Greek means surrender. He surrendered. Which he was surrendered, he took bread. That means that somebody gave him up. got stabbed in the back. But see, I like what Pastor Keith taught over there, because when he was teaching on the Last Supper, he made folks understand one thing. He made them understand that even though Jesus knew that Judas was Judas, he still broke bread with him. How many folks you know, Judas, you know that you break bread with? Oh, it's quiet up in here today. I thought y'all was excited to see me. Standing up. Jesus, the same night, said he was betrayed, he took bread, the bread of life. And when he had given thanks, he did what? He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body. See, that's where we get confused at. See, we come and we take communion. We eat the little cracker and we drink the cup. And I don't like the cracker and I don't like the juice. But I drink it because it symbolizes his body. Now, y'all know y'all don't like that cracker and that juice.
No. Amen.
But it's easier to do it that way, and it's cost saving. And that ain't what it's about anyway. It's about what's in your heart.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm breaking this body. You eat. Take this. What he was telling us was, you got to take me into your life.
Come on, Pastor.
That means you got to love folks that hate you. You got to pray for people that despitefully use you. That means you got to care for people that don't care for you. That means you got to encourage people that don't want to encourage you. That means you got to go out of your way and do the things that Jesus. Now, we ain't never going to be no Jesus. But we can at least try to act partially like it. Paul said, I'm telling y'all this right now because y'all tripping.
Amen, amen.
Y'all running around here arguing with each other and complaining and doing all these things. There was a lot of stuff going on in Corinth. And he was trying to let them know, look here, Jesus broke bread so that you could have life. He didn't break bread so you could fill up like I did yesterday. I mean, I did fill up yesterday too. Soup was off the chain. Amen. And then it says, after he gave thanks, when you do what you're supposed to do for God, you have a right to give thanks.
Amen.
How many of you know that? When you take the brunt of somebody's hatred or envy or strife and you just keep it moving, you have a right to give thanks. Lord, I don't like what they did to me, but I thank you anyway. I know they're talking about me, Lord, but I thank you anyway. Now, today, one of them days, Lord, I don't feel too good, but I think I'm going to thank you anyway. The doctors told me I'm not going to make it, but I'm going to thank you anyway. So it don't matter what you're going through. That's what the Last Supper, the First Supper, is telling us, that Jesus broke his bread and gave his life unto us so that we can thank him in spite of anything. Instead of growling and complaining and bellyaching. Amen. I better keep it simple, First Lady. You know, I can do like Pastor Keith said, go out to the outer limits. I don't want to get beat up on Easter. Remember, I'm on Facebook. Glory to the living God. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Break it. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is, now, that's, see that word broken? It's in our Bibles. But if you really studied the actual writing, it's not there. The word broken is not there. It reads like this. It reads, where was I at? I just want to make sure somebody was listening. Take, this is my body, which is for you.
Yes.
That sounds differently, don't it?
Yes.
It sounds a lot different than that was broken for you than it does is for you. That means that he don't have to divide himself to fill us up. We all can have the same thing from God.
Amen.
Come on.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Okay. Amen. He said, do it in remembrance of me. Or as a memorial unto me. You want to do what you want to do for God as a memorial unto God. You ain't trying to impress no man. Because they can care less anyway.
Amen.
I should always impress God.
Amen.
And you can only impress God one way.
Amen.
And that's trying to live according to the scriptures.
Amen.
But see, we done got so smart, Pastor Rutherford. We make up our own scriptures. You know, we change them and manipulate them so that they go along with what we want to do. But you know what? Eventually, you got to come back here. Because you know what's going to bring you back here? Trial and tribulation. See, we were taught that what brings forth the anointing was praying and fasting and all that good stuff. And I found out different, First Lady. I found out that what brings forth the anointing is when you catching hockey sticks. And you can still lift up your hands and say, you a good God. That's what brings forth the anointing. Amen. Folks don't understand that. We're going to go through. The Bible says you're going to be tried like as unto a fire. But they said if you stand, I'm paraphrasing, you're going to come out as pure gold. When it's talking about you coming out as pure gold, that means you're going to have a mindset to serve God in spite of your circumstance. My God, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. I'm about to be 61 years old, and I have been through some stuff. But you know what? You want to hear something that most folks ain't going to admit? 99.9% of the stuff I've been through, I caused it. You know why I caused it? Because I manipulated the word to be what I wanted it to be. Instead of doing what God said I was supposed to do.
Amen.
After the same manner, also, the cup, when he had, I know I'm reading it different, so y'all just have to bear with me. The cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. A revived Testament. Or God actually dropped it in my spirit. It's a revived idea other than the idea that you got.
Right.
Ooh, Lord, it's warm up in here now. See, God taught me something. He taught me that I have to preach to me first.
Amen.
And you second.
Amen.
See, I'm talking to me.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping you're going to get some crumbs from it. Because I'm going to try to eat all I can eat, right? That New Testament, he said it's in my blood. There's a new idea in my blood. What's the idea? It's a principle and a concept that says, I no longer live for me, but I live for others.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. You're making me say some nasty stuff now, brother.
Come on.
You've been bought with a price. Your life ain't your own.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Sell it.
This supper that he's talking about is talking about all the Bible. It's dealing with Genesis all the way to Revelation. Just this verses right here is trying to teach us something. How many of you here have the nerve sometimes to prefer your brother before yourself? I ain't seen no many hands get up that time. Let's put it like this. Say me and Pastor Keys, we get stranded someplace. It's a storm. Now, we got one peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the car. I know that's bad night. You know what I mean. We got one peanut butter and jelly sandwich in that car. We stuck. We can't get out. Nobody knows where we are. And he thinking about the sandwich. And I'm thinking about the sandwich. And ain't neither one of us mother thinking about splitting the sandwich. Because that thing is, if we split the sandwich, we're going to still be hungry. So we have to decide in ourselves, am I going to let him have the sandwich? Or am I going to take the sandwich? Now let me tell you what flesh going to do. Eventually one of us going to go to sleep. And the one that ain't sleep, flesh going to tell it, this is your opportunity, brother. But see, if it was Jesus in one of us, Jesus was giving the sandwich to one of us and go without.
Amen.
That's what the supper about.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to teach you.
Yeah.
Bible tells us prefer your brother before yourself.
Amen.
And then it talks about friends, but we want to know who is our brother anyway. If you don't do what I want you to do or act the way I need you to act, you ain't my brother. That's unfortunate because they are.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay. As oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show or proclaim the Lord's death till he come. See, the word show or it means to proclaim. When you allow the bread to manifest itself in your life, which is the life of Christ, and you allow the cup, which is the blood of Christ, or it can also be considered as the Spirit of God in your life. When you allow them to manifest themselves in your life, then you proclaim that God is head in your life. There's been a couple times I ain't proclaimed nothing. I said, well, I ain't going to take none of this no more. Years ago, I used to always complain. Pastor Hart used to make me so mad. Because he just said whatever he wanted to say, when he wanted to say it. He didn't care where he was when he said it. And he didn't care if your feelings got hurt or your emotions got stirred up. He just did not care. And I was fussing and complaining and belly aching. And I was up doing song services because he had just stuck me. He just got me. I ain't never told this story, but I'm going to share it with you. We were all in a prayer line. You know how we used to have the anointing line? It was myself, Brother Hoskins, Sister Metcalf, myself. Who else? I think that was it. And we were in Pastor Hart, and we were in this prayer, and we were praying, and something didn't get done. I don't remember what it was. It didn't get done because we hadn't had time to do it. He threatens me while we're praying. He says, brother, you about to lose $10. We praying. And I looked at him, and Brother Hoskins looked at me, and he went. Sister Metcalf, they just went. He said, yeah, you're going to lose $10. And now Lot said, you try. So you just try. I went to do song service, and while I was doing song service, didn't God speak to me? I said, God, leave me alone. You know what he said to me that really made, he said, the Bible says, son, and when you get through listening to this, you go find it. Obey them that will rule over you, whether they be in error. That means whether you think they're wrong or right, or whether they're wrong actually, you still got to obey them, or you need to get the heck out of Dodge. That's what he the blood, that's what the bread, that's what the blood does to your life. It allows you to hear the word of God when you least expect to hear it. The word of God will straighten you out. It will encourage you. It will uplift you. I'm going to tell you, Pastor Arden, every time God would give me a word, I didn't like it. Because he was always correcting me about something that I thought I did good. We got to show his death. Now listen to this. This is where it gets deep at. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, which means waiting or unsuitably. Some of y'all ain't gonna want to take communion this morning. Because if you got somebody you hate, or you got somebody you jealous of, or you envious of them, I think it says it says you unsuitable.
That's right.
So while you sitting there, you better ask God to forgive you, because we're going to take communion this morning.
Amen.
And in just a little while, we're going to take communion. We're not going to wait till the end of the service. We'll do some things different today. I used to take that cup and eat that bread and just think, man, be so excited. That's what you're doing. Then you just get through talking about so-and-so. I said, yeah. He said, you better not drink it until you repent. And see, folks don't know what repent mean either. They think that means you just turn around and go for a few seconds and go right back. That means you completely turn around and don't go back to it.
Amen.
Because, baby, I'll be honest, I done went back to some stuff and it done like to kill me. You ever sat up on the side of the bed one day and went to say to yourself, how did I get here? And you know how you got there, but you just think, if you ask yourself, you're going to remind yourself how you got there. Because you mess around and revisited something that almost killed you the first time. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. That's how important it is. Shall be guilty. The word guilty is translated liable of the body and the blood of the Lord. You better make sure.
Man.
I found out I ain't got to talk out loud to repent. Especially, I have to repent a lot. Especially when I'm driving. I don't be looking over there. I'll see you. Don't be looking over there. I have to repent, Brother Al. I'm driving. You cut me off, baby. It's on. Every time I look up, somebody hitting my car.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I come out of the bone alley a couple weeks ago. Somebody done knocked my bumper in. I was out in the parking lot. I was so hot. I'm walking around looking at folks' cars. So I can see if I see gray on their car. Because if I find me some gray, it's going to be some stuff going on. After I walked around for a while, guess what? It started doing raining. And I looked up and I started laughing. I said, God, you're trying to tell me something, ain't you? You're trying to tell me get my goofy self in my car and going about my business and get it fixed. Before you mess around and get yourself in some trouble. See, folks don't realize, when I got delivered, he didn't take it out of me. You know, I was one of them street hoods. He didn't need it. I thought he was just going to deliver me. No, he didn't. Guy flipped me off one day. Right here. I mean, we coming on the freeway. He already, it's a 70 mile an hour freeway. He's doing about 55, so I blew the horn. So he do something. Next thing I know, all I see in his rearview mirror is his finger. You know how far I chased that man? I'm being honest with you. He hit the Davidson. I hit the Davidson. I was on him. He made a right to get on the lodge. I was on him. Just about the time I got up next to him, and I rolled down my window because I was getting ready to throw my water bottle at him. The guy said, if you throw that water bottle, you're going to pay a price. Because you don't know, he might have had a bad day too. And he might be a preacher, a priest, an evangelist, because people have bad days. I felt like a complete fool. I took my bottle and drank my water and threw that bottle in the back seat. Now guess what? Now I got to turn around because I'm totally away from the destination where I was going. And he rolling on like, what was he going to do? He just don't know. Hey, I can tell y'all some stuff.
Me too.
I'm trying to tell you something. That's what he's talking about. 28. Let a man do what?
Examine
himself.
Yes.
You gotta check yourself out.
Yeah.
That means you gotta check your heart,
yes,
your mindset, your ideas, your principles. You gotta check you.
Yes.
I spend all my time checking me. Because I know it's a crazy man in there. And he's just looking for an opportunity to get out of that crazy. He's just looking for it. He's standing there waiting. Like, okay, fool, when you going to mess up so I can get out? He almost got out a couple times, ain't he, back? I know I did, but that's as far as I'm going, so you tell the whole story. So you would tell the whole story, that's as far as I'm going with it. So I have to examine me. I have to check me out. I have to make sure that I keep this mess under subjection to God.
Amen.
And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, that eateth and drinketh what?
Damnation.
Now that don't mean you going to hell, like some folks say. That just means you're going to put yourself in some bad stuff.
Yes.
Man, I wish you wouldn't so many kids in here. Because I don't want to say this word so bad. I'm simply saying hockey sticks. You wonder why you got so many hockey sticks in your life? Because you giving out hockey sticks.
Right.
I've slipped up a couple times, ain't I? She said, amen. It says, drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We don't realize who we have in us.
Amen. Come on.
We done forgot who we have in us. That's why we just go off the little deep end. And we actually think we're getting away with something because ain't nobody gonna see us. Don't you know God everywhere? You see everything, hear everything? God got a way of allowing you to pay for your tremendous, what word can I use? Just the height. That ain't going to offend. God will allow you to make a complete donkey of yourself. Because your attitude has controlled your longitude. Listen to who's talking back there. Who do I have more trouble with this church out of? Yeah, he learned it. I don't know who said that, but I want everybody to pass out to the communion. Just take them and just pass it down the aisle. Everybody can take one out. That way nobody's got to get up. If you don't already have one. You know, because we don't realize who we have in us, the Bible says many of us, for this cause, many are weak, that means they slump, sickly among you, and many sleep. A lot of folks slumber and they sick. Some people just sick because of the tablets. But the kind of sick he's talking about is your sickening trespass. I've been sick before. I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm still here. Folks talk about if you got faith, you ain't got to take no medicine. I'm still taking medicine for it. And I'm going to take it. So if you got high blood pressure and you decide you don't believe God and ain't going to take it, pity on you. You're going to mess around one day and your head going to pop. Because one thing you have to understand, doctors, they feel like they scientists and they got all they learned from them. But God gave them that ability.
Hear me, my children, for this is my work, the work of redemption and the work of unity. Even as the Father and I are one, I have made you one with me, and I have laid down these instructions for you to follow in order that you might be with me and that you might be healthy and that you might prosper.
Yes, Lord.
Be mindful that not only are you a part of the body, so are others. Therefore, you must treat them as I treat them. You must show them love. You must show them mercy. You must show them justice. You must show them kindness. Did I not offer the bread unto the one who betrayed me? Did I not show love? Did I not wash his feet? Ye are to wash one another's feet with love and with kindness and with joy. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I am not mocked. I am not scoffed at. Many of those have done things unto others, and they will turn and say, Lord, forgive me, but that you shall reap that harvest. For I am a God that saith it. I am not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Aye, and you shall reap a great harvest, because you know not how much of the seed is this sown.
Yes.
For I am the Lord your God, and I am a lover of those that I have died for. I have died for all humanity. For I am the God of all souls of all flesh, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? The 31st verse ties 23 all the way down to 30 together. Because it says, for if we would judge ourselves,
Amen.
We should not be judged.
Yes. Amen.
You know why most of us are judged? Because we're so busy judging other folks. I'm a firm believer. Mind your own business. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing. I know it's hard. Because there's some folks that can rub you the wrong way. Heard somebody say with the quickness. Oh yeah. Some folks you hate to see them coming. First thing hits your mind, here we go again. And you know what's so scary about it? A lot of them are family members. Oops. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor, our knees, please. My God, why have you forsaken me? We feel like that at times. Lord, why are you letting me go through this mess? I fussed about my knees and I complained. And I just complained to God. Lord, you can heal me right now. Why don't you just heal me? All you gotta do is just say, "Be healed, my son." It's just that simple. I've seen folks heal of cancer and all kind of things, and you tell me you can't heal my knees? Not a darn thing. I get no answer. So I have to learn to press in. You may not believe it, but I had this knee completely replaced. How many weeks ago? 7, 8 weeks ago?